O God of our people and Lord of every nation, let your word ring out from the mountains and your spirit shine forth in the earth, so that all may hear you teaching and all may do your will. Through Jesus Christ our peace. Amen. The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah, and you can find that on page 1062. This is what Isaiah's son Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths." The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord.
We'll now hear from our gospel reading this morning from Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 through 44. Remember, Advent is a time in which we begin looking towards the future as we remember what has already happened. Jesus begins, "But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating, drinking, marrying, let's get married, giving in marriage. Here's my son, here's my daughter, get out of here. Up to the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. This is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in a field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken, the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day the Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he wouldn't have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So also you must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." The word of the Lord for the people of God. Let us pray. Gracious God, wake us up. Wake me up, so that we may hear the words of my mouth, so that they may be pleasing to you, and prepare us all for the coming of your kingdom and the coming of your Son. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So here we are, Advent, the beginning of a new church calendar. We go a little earlier than the regular calendar of the church. We start at Advent, which means we start at the end. And like any beginning of a new year, after the excitement has died and the confetti is being cleaned up from the streets, we are given an opportunity to look forward and backward, right? Like any time of transition, you reflect on where you have been and what has happened the last year, maybe with some regret or sadness or joy. Then you turn your mind to the future. What am I going to accomplish this year? What do I want to do this year? What are the things that need to happen this coming year? This is where many people start to make resolutions, right? Oh, I need to get to the gym. Oh, boy. Praying for the promises tomorrow can bring. So this morning, the church finds itself in that similar moment of transition, looking forward and backwards at the same time. In Advent, the birth and the return of Jesus are brought together. We prepare for the second coming as we remember the first, the beginning and the culmination of our salvation are united in this season. So this Advent serves as a reminder that we are in between. Jesus was born, was crucified, was resurrected, and has yet to come. Remember, in our communion liturgy, we say this almost every time. Christ has come, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again, will come again. Reminding us that we are still in between, an in between people. We know the promises that God has made, that evil will be erased from our lives, that weapons will be beaten into plowshares, that suffering and pain will no longer exist, that every tear will be wiped from our eyes. But those promises have yet to be fulfilled. So we wait. We wait with expectation. Maybe we go to our front door and we turn the porch light on as a symbol of our waiting for Christ to come to this world in which we know so much suffering and pain happens, so that we will be ready the moment Jesus arrives, right? This anticipation, this awareness that Jesus is coming back, according to Matthew, is what sets us as Christians apart. Jesus, from our reading this morning, talks about the time of Noah, when everybody was going about their normal lives, eating, drinking, being merry, not knowing what was about to happen. And if they had known, the waters were rising. They would have lived those final days very differently. They would have been prepared. They would have been ready. So don't get caught unaware or distracted in this in-between time. Jesus tells us that when Jesus returns, two men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding at a handmill, one will be taken, the other left. Judgment is swift and comes without alarms or warning. And here Jesus is not talking about this idea of the rapture where Christians are taking up to avoid suffering, the end times. Instead, here Matthew is talking about, like in Noah's times, the ones who were taken are the ones who didn't know it was coming. The ones who were not ready. Those were the ones who were swept away, just like the waters did in Noah's time. Now, I have to admit that this passage really upsets my modern day, "Kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya." Let's hold some hands. "Oh, Lord, kumbaya." You know, it really upsets my kind of peaceful image of God, you know, this nice God who's always just extending grace all the time. And here we have this image of Noah, which is just brutal, right? Oh my gosh, they're all having fun. It was good, right? It was okay. No, it wasn't. It wasn't okay. And these people that are taken because of God's judgment, this is hard. This is hard. But you have to remember that at that time, the Christians believed that Jesus was coming back soon. That Jesus was just about to return. And they didn't have time to be "Kumbaya, Lord, kumbaya." They'll do that later, right? Because they need to get people on board now. This is not a time for nuance. This isn't a time to not be offensive. They needed to be offensive because they were trying to wake you up. They were trying to say, this is your wake-up call. Get ready. The alarm's going off. You're going to be going about your business, and the judgment's going to be here. And you're thinking, oh, I'm going to go out. I'm going to do my farming. I'm going to do my milling. Oh, great. We're having a good day. Uh-oh. What just happened? Right? Get ready. This is supposed to be offensive because they're trying to wake you up. Wake you up about what is happening. Get ready. Start living your faith now. Don't wait. That's what's going on here. And as modern day Christians, we have a hard time with this because those early day Christians, they thought it was happening like in just a few years. And we have been waiting for much longer and we've gotten really complacent. So the question I have for all of us is, how do we prepare ourselves? Are we supposed to just go outside and look up to the sky and go, don't see Jesus yet? Like this cat, right? See that cat? But see, I bet that cat's ready immediately. He thinks, I'm going to jump through this post office box right here and go outside and get that bird. But how are we supposed to prepare ourselves? Are we supposed to just sit and wait? What are we supposed to do? So right now we are living in what I would consider to be the decade of the post-apocalyptic fantasy. If any of y'all watch movies or watch TV, you will know that we are currently in a zombie apocalypse, a second ice age, an alien invasion. I think Kiefer Sutherland, like the entire Capitol building's blown up. He's like president now. The rise of the robots, generally collapse of our society as we know it, right? That's really good entertainment. I don't think it is, but it's all out there. And it seems like we never have been more obsessed with the end of the world, right? Our movies, our TV, they're a reflection of our own anxiety, our fears, that we're constantly on the verge of something bad happening, that the world's going to end. Now, some people have taken it very seriously. They have said, you know what? This end's coming. I'm going to be ready. They have built bunkers. They have food. They have weapons, water. They're ready to go. And I'm going to go find some of those people when it all happens. My friend who lives in Virginia, she has some folks in West Virginia. She goes, I'm going to the Appalachian Mountains immediately once the zombies rise up. And I go, okay, good. Go to find some of your relatives. So this is what it means that we think as modern day people, it means to prepare for the end of the world, right? This is what we think it means to stay vigilant, to stay awake. Yet Jesus offers us something very different than the underground bunker. Something a little bit more practical, I think, and a way that we can start preparing ourselves right now. So the first part is stop worrying about the end of the world. Stop worrying about the end of the world. I don't know if any of y'all were on Facebook the week the election happened, but it seemed like for a lot of people, it was the end of the world. We get all these things happening. It's just like, oh no, it's over. Stop worrying. Stop worrying about all of this. Jesus says in the passage, nobody knows. Angels don't know. Even Jesus doesn't know, right? The Father knows. And guess what? You're not going to figure it out. You're not going to decode the Bible and all of a sudden know what day it's going to be. And even if you did do that, that's kind of a waste of your time. Stop doing that. stop worrying about the end of the world. It's going to happen whether you know it or not. All right, that's number one. Y'all got that? Okay, good. Stop. Actually, just say this. Stop worrying. Say it.
Stop worrying.
I'm going to stop worrying. Good job. All right. Watch out for Facebook. Second, keeping watch means you stay focused on the right things. So I just told you to stop worrying about the wrong things. Stay focused on the right things. We prepare ourselves for Jesus' return by following Jesus' commands, living the faith that Jesus gave to us. It's not about these big acts of flashy faith, right? Like you're handing out big checks all the time, you know, like the big checks at the golf tournaments. Like, that's not what I'm asking. I mean, you can do that. That's great. But it's more about the readiness to live your faith out at any moment. That idea I told the kids, open your ears. Look with your eyes. Be ready at any moment to live your faith because God has given you these opportunities each and every day. So in this moment here, preparing for the coming of the Lord, preparing for the end of the world is actually in your day-to-day life. The day-to-day acts of hospitality, grace, love. Now, I know I say this to you all so many times. What does that mean? What does this look like? It's really hard. Be generous in unexpected ways. Be generous to one another. Show hospitality to one another, even if your house is a mess. I don't care. Maybe I need some water. Maybe I need someone to talk to. Do you think if I care if your house is immaculate? Let me in. Show grace. Show hospitality. Show grace when your tempers flare. Show grace when that person across from you is unlovable. If you believe that Jesus is going to return, that Jesus will be back, start acting like it. Finally, don't be distracted. Don't be distracted. Don't be distracted. This is one of the hardest parts of what we do as Christians. Because life offers way more distractions. In fact, Les, where are you? You're up there. Les sent me this great article about a world of distractions. That we as human beings constantly crave distractions. That we can't live without them. We fall asleep with the TV on. I put my earbuds in so that I can fall asleep. I need stuff going around. Why do I always need to be distracted? What is happening in our lives that we can't focus? There's this great Christian parable, early Christian parable, about the son of a king. And the king says, son, I need you to go retrieve this beautiful pearl. There's a snake that's guarding it. But I need you to go to Egypt, and I want you to go get it from this snake, and I'm going to give you money, and maybe the snake will go away. And so the son says, yes, I'm going to go get this pearl for you, Dad. This is going to be great. And he goes, he starts walking, and he keeps walking, and he gets to Egypt, and all of a sudden, there's a whole bunch of distractions that present themselves to him. He gets caught up in politics. He gets caught up in wealth. He gets caught up in the social status. And before you know it, the son of the king has forgotten who he is. He forgot that he was the son of the king. He forgot that he was supposed to go get this pearl of great wisdom. He forgot all about it. And the dad, realizing what had happened because his son wasn't coming back, said, oh, I've got to get my son back, and writes a letter to the son. And it gets to him and opens his eyes. And he is reminded of who he is and what he has been called to do. And he goes, he gets the pearl, and gets back to dad. This is our journey. We forget who made us, who we belong to, and what we are called to do all the time, constantly, because of distractions. All the time, it happens. And every Sunday you come here is like the letter that the king's son received. Oh my goodness, what have I been doing? Right? What happened? I forgot who I belonged to. I forgot what I was supposed to do. And you come here to get recharged, to be reminded of this journey that you are called to take. So this is your wake-up call. This is it. Prepare your hearts and minds for the coming of the Lord. And I'm not telling you to go buy an underground bunker. Don't do it. You need to start living your faith now. This is it. Here and now. This is your moment. Because if you are living your faith, you are preparing your heart, your mind, your body for the return of the King and all that comes with it and all the glory. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen.